from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, into the 9 o'clock hour. Good to be with you, Payne and Pendergast. So, of the teams that made the playoffs last year, always dicey trying to get back, man. The NFL, more than any other sport, whoever made the postseason the year before can't get too comfy, Seth, because it feels like there's, as we know here, firsthand, there's a lot of turnover when it comes to teams making the playoffs a couple years in a row, right?
Yeah.
So Bill Barnwell did a piece on ESPN.com. I didn't read the entire thing because to do that with a Barnwell piece, I would not be here today. I'd have to take a day off. I'd have to take a vacation day to read the whole thing. But he has the 14 postseason teams from last year, and he kind of ranks them in order of their likelihood of making the playoffs in 2024. And the obvious ones are at the top. And he does summarize like why he ranks the teams where they do. Kansas City is obviously number one. They're number one at everything right now. Their odds of making the postseason next year are nearly 90%, according to the computers. Why they're number one? They're still the Chiefs. He's got the Niners at 2, Ravens at 3. This all matches up, I think. The Lions at 4 in a somewhat weak NFC. I feel like the Lions being the most likely team to get back to the postseason, even in that division, sounds about right. Packers at 5. Okay, this is about where I'd expect to see the Texans, maybe, right in this range. Bills, 6. There they are, the Houston Texans at 7, with a 65% chance to make the playoffs, according to the computers. Why are they down there at 7? Bill Barnwell's reason. Have you seen the AFC?
Yeah, yeah. Have you seen the AFC quarterbacks? Right. Have you just seen? It's brutal.
Yeah.
It's brutal out there.
Yep.
It's one thing Aaron Rodgers is about to learn.
Yeah.
That the AFC is not, look, we're not your old NFC North where you can beat up on some haggards here, and the NFC, just the bunch of slacker QBs they have out there.
Right. Yeah. He was supposed to learn this last year, but he only lasted 4 snaps.
But yeah, he quit.
Yeah, he quit.
Just because his Achilles tendon was torn.
That's right. That's right. God, it's so weird we're talking about him. He's on the TV in here right now.
Obviously he didn't quit.
Right.
But, that's still a big unknown with Aaron Rodgers, is that he's coming back from an Achilles tendon tear. And sure, many more people have done it than they used to, but he's also old.
Yes.
So that's, I'm having a hard time seeing some of the rosy projections for like over-unders on Aaron Rodgers and just various things.
Like yardage and things like that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wins. Like I think the over-under for one for passing touchdowns I saw was 30 for him.
Wow.
And I think he's only had more than 30 touchdowns maybe once in the last 5 years.
Okay.
It's still an Achilles tendon at an advanced age. So I'm curious about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, yeah. The some of the reasons Barnwell has in here, and look, the Texans being 7th, among the last year's playoff teams to get back into the playoffs is certainly a way better place than we all thought they would be a year ago. You know, a year ago, I don't know how many people thought they would even make the playoffs in 2023. Some of the reasons, though, in here, I don't know, man. He says the Texans have a lot to be excited about with C.J. Stroud, who was phenomenal as a rookie, mentions Will Anderson, mentions the additions they made with Stephon Diggs, offensively in particular. Of course, and this is a fair point, you could have said the same thing about the Jags 12 months ago, whose unquestioned reign atop the division lasted about half a season. The parallels are exact. The Texans have added more to the roster this offseason than the Jags did a year ago, but the moves weren't all additive. Danielle Hunter is still an excellent pass rusher, but he's taking over for the departed Jonathan Greenard, who had 12 and a half sacks a year ago.
All right. That's okay.
Yes.
All right. Listen, Barnwell. If you're going to sit here and basically pee in my face, I can't. The guy, Barnwell this offseason, like, frankly, Barnwell has all the elements of a guy who's phoning it in at this point. Remember, he said that one of the Texans' draft needs was right tackle, and yeah. Then he listed he listed Titus Howard as a guard on his depth sheet, so he's not actually paying attention.
Yeah.
But to put Danielle Hunter, like last year's version of Danielle Hunter and last year's version of Jonathan Greenard, in the same boat based on sacks, that's phoning it in. That's just not the same. It was. Now, they do lose something in Greenard. Don't get me wrong. It was a smart move for two teams that are at different stages. The Vikings are in the growth mode right now, so it made sense for them to bring Jonathan Greenard in and, you know, bank on the upside of him. But for if you wanted right now, there's not a single gambler alive who would say right now, who's more likely to give you a better season, Danielle Hunter or Jonathan Greenard? It's Danielle Hunter. It's ridiculous.
Or anybody with a working set of eyeballs who would say, who's the more dangerous edge rusher, Danielle Hunter or Jonathan? And Jonathan Greenard has squeezed everything out of the ability that he has, and he has improved as a player, and I think he'll do some good things for Minnesota, to be sure. I think if you ask Minnesota who they'd rather have, Danielle Hunter or Jonathan Greenard, even at the prices that both guys are playing at, they probably would have liked to have kept Danielle Hunter. So what's crazy about that, and we'll get into more of what Barnwell is saying about the Texans here, but about what you just said, Seth, is I'm not disputing what you said. You're 100% right. The Vikings are now in a rebuilding phase, and the Texans are now in a win-now phase. It just goes to show you how crazy this league is, that at the end of 2022, the Texans are picking second in the draft and the Vikings are 13-4 in the regular season that year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was kind of a fugazi 13-4. They won a lot of games they probably shouldn't have won, but they were still 13-4. I mean, the record's the record, and it's wild. Like, here we are less than two calendar years later, and it's like, well, of course Danielle Hunter would be a Texan. They're about to win now.
Right.
And now Minnesota's rebuilding with a rookie quarterback. When he gets healthy again.
Well, Minnesota had been in that kind of that weird stage of mediocrity and what do we do here because we don't really know what we have. Like, are we really going to sign Kirk Cousins to a long-term contract?
Yep.
There were a lot of things that were there. Everything was up in the air, where now it feels more like not a hard reset, but an actual reset.
So Barnwell has the Lions and the Packers both ahead of the Texans in this ranking. Again, if you're just tuning in, it's the ranking of 2014 playoff teams, their likelihood of getting back to the postseason. He's got the Lions at 4, the Packers at 5, he's got the Texans at 7. And we talk about the Bills being at 6 in a second, but he says this: unlike the Lions and Packers in our triumvirate of sexy breakout teams, the Texans were one of the league's oldest squads last year, a product of Nick Caserio choosing to construct his roster around a lot of veterans on short-term deals. That move likely accelerated Houston's improvement once it landed young difference makers like Stroud, Anderson, and Derek Stingley Jr., but it also might limit the team's ability to grow around that core.
Right. I guess my question is, what does that matter for this year?
Right.
And they're old again this year because they added veteran playmakers to the roster. So was this an article about making the playoffs this year or the playoffs in 2026?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be...
He's phoning it in, man. Yeah. You can't take Barnwell seriously anymore.
Do you agree with...
He doesn't even know the title of his own article.
For forget about the reasons behind the sentiment. Does the ranking feel right? Like, where are you on the Texans, like, they're making the playoffs like next year compared to some of these other teams that are maybe more perennial playoff teams, I guess.
Making the playoffs this year or next
year?
This coming season.
2024, yeah.
Right, yeah. I feel like his ranking is about right. Yeah. He just phoned in the reasons for it. Yeah. I think if anything, did he mention strength of schedule?
He just talked about
the AFC. I mean, strength of schedule is the biggest one.
Right.
And the dicey thing about strength of schedule is it never ends up the way you forecast it in the season, because some good teams end up being bad and vice versa. And I think there's a good chance that some of the teams right now that by strength of schedule make the Texans look like they have a really hard schedule. I think like the Bills for one come
big
to mind.
One is the Bills.
I think people just are looking at the logo and the recent success more so than the actual situation in Buffalo, which is they had to let a lot of good free agents depart. And offensively, like last year, where I think people are reading too much into the fact that the offense got better even as Stephon Diggs' production went down. And they're forgetting that the presence of Stephon Diggs still was a big driver for why the offense could get better.
That's a good way to put it.
They decided to spread the ball around more, but defenses still had to account for Stephon Diggs. And so it ended up being a better offense, but it wasn't specifically because they stopped, you know, going to Stephon Diggs because he's no good anymore or anything. It was that they were able to spread the ball around because of the presence of Stephon Diggs.
I think the teams on the Texans schedule that could be worse than they were last year and thus maybe make the strength of schedule thing a little phony. Now, there may be some that are better than they were last year. Like, you know, the Jets won 7 games, but if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy this year, maybe they're a 9 or 10 win team. I agree with you on Buffalo. I think there's a good chance that if this dysfunction continues into the season, that this could be a very mediocre Dallas Cowboys team this year. I think that's a distinct, you know, they won 12 games last year. I think there's a distinct possibility that Dallas is an 8-9 team this year, you know?
Really? The one thing about Dallas is that they major in dysfunction. So I feel like the dysfunction might not be as much of a distraction. I think the offense will still be really good. And I think Mike Zimmer's going to be really good for that defense.
Yeah, you like Mike Zimmer.
As long as he can stop from going PJ Carlissimo on Micah Parsons at some point.
Yeah.
But I think Zimmer, like the reason they brought, this is the one smart thing the Cowboys did this offseason. The Cowboys have struggled versus Kyle Shanahan deep offenses. In the NFC, there's a bunch of Kyle Shanahan offenses like the Packers and the 49ers that have been their undoing at times. Whereas Mike Zimmer has been really good against Kyle Shanahan offenses. So that was a smart move. A lot of people are skeptical of Mike Zimmer because he's in his 70s, I think, by now.
That sounds right.
I watched Dick LeBeau continue to be a very good defensive coordinator on until he was almost 80 years old.
Yeah.
Mike Zimmer is built different than Dick LeBeau. Dick LeBeau is super laid back. Mike Zimmer is the exact opposite. But they both have personalities that I feel like age well. They can keep getting. They still know football, and it's going to be all right for them.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Having Yiner hitting the way he does as a catcher doesn't feel as awesome when your outfield is Dubon, Myers, and McCormick. Yeah, they need Tucker back. I mean, that's these outfields.
And what those guys offer at the plate.
Yeah.
You know, defensively, at least, they are. I just checked the advanced stats. They're the second best fielding team in baseball right now. And when you talk about pitchers being in a good environment, you know, Kikuchi last night benefited from some really good fielding at times. It suffered from it when Chaz McCormick decided to just let a ball roll to him slowly and allowed the runner to turn a base hit into a double. But by and large, the fielding has been really good, so that offsets it a little bit, but yeah.
Someone needs to tell Chaz, like, you know, Kyle Tucker's allowed to look like he's not trying in right field because he's got an OPS of 970. You have to try all the time, Chaz. Your OPS is 550 or whatever it is.
Jog a little bit more briskly towards that rolling ball, please.
Right. Yes. Did you see your guy? I know you did because you sent me the tweet. Your guy Springer last night. Brandy's
Springer got ejected. Okay, so Springer got hit in the foot by a pitch. Didn't get called.
Right.
Went to review, and review didn't do anything. So Springer said something to the ump as he was walking away, and the ump ejected him. And then that's where it got wild. Because the manager, I love watching the manager from the Blue Jays. I'm blanking on his name.
Forget his name. Is it Schneider?
Yeah. He's so built. Like, he's just like, he looks like he's ready for a bar fight 24/7.
Yeah.
He comes out, is trying to restrain Springer. Springer lost it. Like, we don't see this from Springer.
No.
Springer lost it. Was just unleashing a tirade as people were holding him back towards the ump. Went down into the dugout. Said a choice word or two. The audio wasn't, I didn't grab the audio because it wasn't great for radio.
Yeah.
But he was just flipping the hell out, and it was hard to see. Just like, obviously got hit in the foot. He felt, somebody said it, he said he didn't feel a need to apologize because he knows he got hit in the foot.
There's it's no, obvious. They messed up. They got
you
it
could
wrong.
See the trajectory change on 100%. The replay and everything.
Yeah. 100%.
I guess they must have just thought that it hit the ground a little bit before the foot or something.
Which at first blush, when they're making the call in the moment, is perfectly acceptable to get it wrong, you know. But when you watch it on replay and you see, like, you see it hit and it changed direction, I was very surprised they didn't change that. You know what I would like, Seth, just once? For all these people that hold somebody back from the umpire, just let him go. Let's just see what happens. You know,
yeah, let's see what happens with some of these guys.
Yeah.
They don't feel the need to keep themselves in shape, even though they're supposed to be making razor's edge judgments in the heat and humidity.
Right.
But they decide to be, you know, just. I criticize umpires. I'll never criticize people for their weight in normal life. I would never do that. It's mean. But when it comes to doing your job, if part of your job is being fit, if you're an athlete or a major league freaking umpire,
mm-hmm.
get yourself in shape. What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah.
This is your job.
Yep.
Yeah, let one of those fat tubs go up against George Springer.
Exactly. Well, and you know what, too? Toronto's out of it now. So if Springer, if Schneider and company had just let Springer go, Springer probably does something that gets him suspended, like at least bumps up against the umpire probably because he's just so in the moment, you know?
Yeah.
And that would have saved ownership some money because Springer would have been suspended without pay. If I'm the owner of Toronto and I'm pinching pennies, and by God, I would be right now with this team because they're probably paying a lot of guys and brushing up against the luxury tax, I'd be like, man, Schneider, should have let him go. You just cost me like $10 million.
Yeah.
Springer gets suspended the rest of the year. What were you thinking?
Keep your mind on the bottom line.
That's right.
The ump last night for the Astros, that dude, the built dude, that would be an interesting one. I'd like to see him up chest to chest against baseball players.
Yeah. Him against Yordan, who broke his scoreboard
last night, if you guys didn't watch the game, and I'm blanking on his name, but he's one of the more fit major league umpires.
I watched the game, but I didn't notice him. He's pretty yoked
Blum
up.
Blum was talking about him at one point.
Okay.
He said that...
Yeah. I remember that now.
Yeah, Blum said, he'll chat with guys a lot.
Yes.
And, you know, Blum made some kind of joke about asking him what his workout regimen was.
That's right. That's right. All right. Something that happened this weekend in the preseason with just a few players. Is this going to be a growing trend? And do we like this as fans? We'll have that for you coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Next. Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We just got done talking about Bill Barnwell of ESPN.com, his piece. He's got the Texans as the seventh most likely playoff team from last year to make the playoffs this year. Text message. Can we choose who's the most hated writers for the weekend homework assignment as well? Barnwell would be one of the top of my list. The guy probably sends internal two-page email responses when all he needed to say was received and working on it. Thanks.
Yeah. I think the thing about Barnwell is he was like one of the first really analytically heavy writers, and he was kind of, I guess, a forefather in that regard.
Kind of groundbreaking, a little bit.
But I think it's become obvious over time where there's so many super smart people writing about the more analytical side of stuff who also actually watch football.
And
I get the sense, maybe I'm wrong on this, but I feel like Barnwell doesn't actually watch any football. I think he just looks at numbers and spits it out and doesn't, because some of it just doesn't. Some of it, the stuff he writes doesn't even pass the math test. Right. So, and like the simple check the depth chart test.
Yep.
So that's just what it is.
Yep.
I don't know why they put him on TV so much.
I don't either. But. Yeah. TV's a little rough for Bill, but keep cranking out those 20,000 word articles, baby. Seth, this past weekend, it was interesting. I only saw this on the Colts, but I guess there were a few other players or a few other teams that had guys on there. I didn't see any Texans doing this, but Jonathan Taylor was probably the most famous of these guys. Wore the Guardian cap helmets, like the big kazoo helmets that everybody wears in practice. Wore it in a game.
And with a tarp over it.
Yes.
That has a logo on it. So they have like a... My Zoom call just did an effect that I've never seen before.
So festive.
I went to put the Guardian cap on and I got like fireworks.
Shut
in the
off
back.
Fireworks.
Trying to replicate
nope.
it. Anyway.
Yeah.
Frankly, I noticed that this year during camp that I barely noticed the Guardian caps.
Yeah.
They didn't look nearly as stupid to me.
Right.
And when you put the. I almost feel like they'd look better if they also still didn't put that they put a penny over it, basically, that's got the logo of the team to make it look like a helmet.
Yeah.
I think it would just do away with the pennies. Just let them wear the Guardian cap.
I think the pennies, and I'm sure, and I know you know this, I think the pennies are there for marketing purposes.
Right, know? Right. Yeah. So they're going to do that. I don't know. If I'm a business owner and you want to slap my logo on something, don't slap it on your rusty old beat up car. That's what it looks like to me. It looks like a janky representation of the logo.
I thought it looked okay. I thought the canopy or whatever the penny they put over it, the tarp, I guess you called it. I thought it kind of made it look like sort of normal size to me. I don't know. Maybe I've been drinking.
Part of it is, so on social media, of course, you see a bunch of screenshots of it, and you can tell people took pictures of it from the top down, above. So the angle makes it look like Marvin the Martian to an extreme degree. Yeah, I wouldn't have noticed it watching on TV if it hadn't been pointed out to me, I don't think. Yeah. I don't think it looked as goofy.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is like, you know this. You go back through and you look at any era of football uniform, and they all look goofy now.
Right.
Football uniforms are kind of goofy.
You get used to stuff, you know?
Yeah. So I think you'll get used to it, and it's not going to be that big a deal. If it means that fewer players are lost to injuries throughout the year, then it's probably a good thing.
Right. Or, you know, CTE down the road and things like that, too.
We're fine. I worry about the concussion protocol as it is right now.
I got you. Here's Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter was on with Pat McAfee, and he thinks this is gradually going to become the norm.
We used to see hockey back in the day where players never wore helmets. We used to have people driving cars that never wore seatbelts. And I don't think this is going to happen overnight, but I think eventually we're going to look back and we're going to see some of the great players in this sport have played this game with little helmets that didn't protect their brains. And you're going to see more and more people gravitating towards this because it's a safer way to play.
Now, I don't know how quickly that's going to take place, Seth. You know, again, there's might have been a lot of players that saw Jonathan Taylor wearing it, like, oh, okay, it doesn't look that bad. I could see where a vast majority of the league just doesn't like it as a style kind of thing, right?
Right, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And it is what it is. I don't blame them. I'm just saying I think, you know, it's a bunch of guys in their 20s who are stylists, you know, have good style off the field, and they like to look sharp in their uniforms on the field. I do think that if the league were to step in and mandate anything in the short term when it comes to these guardian caps, as vigilant as they've tried to be against concussions over the last 15 years or so, I could see where guys coming back from concussion protocol are mandated to wear them for like the first 2 or 3 weeks coming back.
Oh, yeah. That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I think guys are going to start. I think, like Schefter said, guys will start doing it on their own. Like with hockey, you know, when they grandfathered in guys that didn't have to wear helmets.
Yeah.
If you know, they instituted the rule, you could choose. You had to wear the helmet if you're coming into the league now, but you didn't have to earlier. Like eventually, there weren't that many holdouts with not wearing the helmets or the face mask. Baseball with the face guard and everything.
Yeah.
I think guys will naturally start bringing it along, and I don't. We'll get used to it really, really quickly.
Yeah.
So I'm not overly disturbed about that. And yes, guys being guys in their early 20s where you feel like nothing could ever kill you, those guys aren't going to worry about the long-term effects as much as the big motivator is the here and now.
Yep.
And if I can avoid concussions right now, that's an immediate risk-reward proposition. I think more guys probably start doing it. I'm guessing cops text in 713-572-4610. I don't know, like when body armor first started becoming more available and encouraged, I'm guessing there were probably some cops that are like, I don't need that. Like over time, you're like, all right, okay, maybe a lightweight bulletproof vest isn't such a bad idea.
I need answers on this. Yes. Please text in, cops. I need it. You really think some people held out from putting the body armor on?
I bet. Yeah, it's hot, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's
anytime there's so many. Sean, I could list you 10 things that you should be doing in your life right now that would make it safer.
Dude.
Well, because you know what this happens? I know this in the military is a real thing. You know, you watch some of the old Vietnam footage and everything.
Yeah.
When guys just, they weren't wearing helmets.
Yep.
Because it was so freaking hot out.
No.
You know? And like, so it's, you make that decision in the moment. We used to have our security guard that worked downstairs. I don't want to say his name because he's a lawyer now. But he was a fun guy to talk to. He was working through law school while working nights as a security guard. So Sean and I would see him when we come in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
But he was he served in Afghanistan or Iraq. I think he was a Marine. And he said he was out, they were out on patrol, and one of the detection devices had said there might be a mine in this one area. And but meanwhile, the security guard, he's a bigger guy. Well, I'll say his name because this is a good story. Better not say his name.
Okay.
He's a lawyer.
Yeah.
I don't want his firm if they
front. And he's got a distinct first name, too.
Yeah. So maybe he'll text you. You've got it. Maybe he'll text you.
Yeah.
He didn't think it was a mine.
Right.
It was like the detector said there might be a mine here. He was almost certain it wasn't. But it was the night where they were serving some kind of dessert that he really likes. This is kind of a bigger guy. And he wanted to get back to the base so he didn't miss out on this dessert that he really liked. So he's like, he's looking around. He's like, I don't think it's a mine. I'm pretty sure it's not a mine. And he's thinking about that dessert and his mouth is watering. So he's like, ah, screw it. And he just jumped on the spot. Yes. He's like, we're good. Let's go.
Oh my God.
So you want to talk about making, short-term decisions with short-term rewards versus what you know is good for you in the long term.
How the hell did this come up in a conversation between you and him?
Oh, we chatted.
I know.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I like talking to, man, I love talking to military people about just the way things actually play out. Everybody's got you've got your movie version of things versus what happens in reality.
That's so funny, dude. That is like that. The story's hilarious, but it's just funny too. Like when he used to sit down there, he would always stop me on the way in with something sport. He's a huge listener. We should point out he was a huge listener to the station too.
Well, like Brazil, the current security guard down there is a big listener to the
station. Big listener.
Brazil gives me some good ideas on my way up sometimes.
Does he really? Okay, yeah. See, Brazil doesn't stop me. The previous security guard that you were talking about would stop me and with something, some sports take. So I would always use it as 5 minutes to workshop a few things with him, So that was fun, man. Yeah, we've got some cool people in the building.
No, but well, Brazil, I want to say Brazil served as well. So he has some good, he's got some good opinions on like current events and everything also.
Yeah.
I was like, it's always fun to hear kind of the way the military guys interpret what the politicians are doing.
Yes.
Because they see the very real world effects of it.
Yes, that's a good point. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll talk to the guys on In the Loop in the next segment. We'll get you ready for Texans practice too. There's some interesting audio sent to me by a listener that maybe reminds us that the cloth that DeMeco is cut from, and why he may not like the indoor practices. There's another great that feels similarly. And I'm very tempted to do something, and I need Seth Payne to talk me out of it. So I've got that.
I'm going to talk you into it. All right.
You might, actually. Okay. We'll get to that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Patrick Creighton's listening right now. You can hear Patrick Creighton and Sean Bajani on Area 45 at nights here on Sports Radio 610. They do a fantastic job. Craig McTavish was the last NHLer to not wear a helmet, but actually wore one the first 5 years of his career. But because he entered the league before June of 1979, he was eligible to scrap the helmet, and he did. That's someone who was wearing a helmet and said, oh, really? I'm old, so I cannot wear one if I want to?
Yeah. Off with this damn cursed helmet.
That hair flow, baby. Yeah.
Well, way back in the day, the goalies didn't have helmets either.
I know. Dude, that's so stupid.
But the etiquette was different. They wouldn't, it was really, you wouldn't take shots high in the goal.
Yeah.
So, it was really, the slap shots to the top corner of the, I don't think it came out that way.
No, I don't think so. Okay. Yeah.
Did we get any response from law enforcement officers?
Oh, I didn't check during the
body armor.
Oh yeah, here we go. I'm reading this off the cuff.
Okay.
HPD here. Wearing the vest under your shirt is really hot. That's why you see so many officers wearing the outer vest. You can crack it open in the car or at lunch.
But he didn't give us an answer about whether guys bristled against it or not when they had to start wearing them.
Not that particular one.
My sister made a good point once that I still think about. She was like, why don't people wear, you don't see anybody wearing helmets while they're driving cars. It seems like it would be a good idea to wear a helmet while you're driving a car.
Boy.
Yeah. She's not like, she's not some nervous Nelly type or anything, but it just occurred to her. I was like, yeah, it's makes sense, doesn't it? It does. God, it really does. But Sean, there's no way in hell I'm going to do it.
Oh, no, dude.
Just got some insight into the way the pain brain works.
No.
You guys are outside the box.
I got 5 years of that. Now I totally want to go buy a helmet and hide it under my seat. And the next time Amy and I go out, like go out to a nice dinner, like just pull the helmet out and put it on and just start the car.
And a mouth guard.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
You gotta have a mouth guard.
Yes. The cage. I can't damage this face. There's another one here. Texas Ranger texting in. 22-year law enforcement. Back when I was still in highway patrol, people totally wouldn't wear their body armor because they didn't like the way it looked or felt.
Right. Yeah, we do it. We're humans. This is what humans do. Not everything we do always makes rational sense.
Right.
And there's a machismo there, you know?
Yeah.
That's the whole... I think some of the machismo is gone when it comes to concussion stuff. My first sight of it was when Brian Cushing once, like, nobody ever accused Brian Cushing of not being macho.
Yes.
He got his head dinged in a game once and pointed to his helmet as he was coming off the sideline.
Yep.
So, like, he entered himself into the concussion protocol. I think that's where, and I think it was, you know, it was right around the time, if I remember correctly, that he would have had his first son. And you start thinking about things a little bit differently.
Maybe.
So, I think some of the machismo around whether or not a guy would wear a Guardian cap, it's not the same as it was 10 years ago.
Yep. Machismo and vanity, as someone says, never underestimate vanity.
Yeah, vanity, man, we're humans. Yep. Humans do a lot of irrational stuff.
They do. Like practicing in 108 degree heat at 11:30 in the morning on a Tuesday.
Well, you know what it is? You know, when I used to hate when you first start learning about economics, like classical economics, forever in economics, it was this belief that, like, well, humans make their decisions based on what benefits them by cost, et cetera, et cetera. And you're learning it and you're like, no, they don't. Mm-hmm. What the hell are you talking about? So finally, an economist put the numbers to it and showed that people are actually very irrational in their economic decisions. And he won the Nobel Prize for it. Where meanwhile, I feel like half of every economics 101 class from the 1980s or 90s could have told you, like, no, this is dumb. Like, what the hell? We're making policy decisions based on this?
No.
These economists don't know what the hell they're talking about.
These
nerds don't understand the way humans work.
They do two things, people. Seek pleasure and avoid pain. And everything else rolls from there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's it. That is it.
And you try to justify it afterwards.
Right.
Like, wow, it was the smart thing to do.
There's pleasure in vanity to a lot of people. 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
D'Amico Ryans, he takes great pleasure in having his team practice in brutal heat. Here was D'Amico Ryans explaining yesterday why practice in the middle of the day.
Today felt like a real training camp day for us with the heat, external elements. As we all know, it's pretty hot and humid here in Houston. It's what we have to deal with, nothing we complain about, just something we got to go to work, right? And so I tell our guys, no matter what it is, for me, it's about adversity. And when it hits you, like, how do you respond? And so a lot of guys, some guys responded well today, some didn't. So it's a lot for us to learn from and build off of.
Was this intentional if you put it at this time just to sort of do an acclimation period?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, getting back to it at this time, this is the time we'll be working throughout the season. So I want our guys to understand what it'll feel like, especially, you know, that first half of the season.
Had somebody send a tweet last night. You might have been copied on it, Seth. They sent a clip. This was Brock Thrumble on Twitter, which I'm sure is his real name.
That was from the Brock Thrumble, remember?
Yeah.
It was against the Broncos, wasn't it?
Indeed it was.
Where he threw for a fumble?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, indeed. So there's a Twitter follower who is goes by Brock Thrumble, and he sent this YouTube reel of Ray Lewis. This must have been in a Hard Knocks Ravens season, I would guess.
From way back in the day, because he says Zeus, which is a reference to Orlando Brown Sr., who we used to call Big Zeus, because he was, with apologies to our one listener who gets offended by any reference to a non-Christian God, his nickname was Big Zeus because he was like Zeus, but bigger.
Yes. So this is Ray Lewis just sitting, doing stretching. You know, he's in the stretching line, getting ready for practice in the Ravens indoor practice facility back in the day.
You know, we could have stayed outside. We could have stayed outside, Zeus. It's just football. Lord have mercy. a little rain, and we got to come inside every time. A little hot outside, we got to come inside every time. Man, we're going to start being soft as bread pudding. I'm telling you, man, football is supposed to hurt. Training camp is supposed to hurt. So when the season get here, it's easy. If we get used to this now, it's irrelevant.
It's got to be an inside linebacker thing, man. Those inside linebackers.
Yeah, that's
a
it's the linebacker mentality. That's yeah. That's why you like Azeez Alshire, is that he's in a lot of ways, he's an old school linebacker. He's got the modern athleticism of middle linebacker, but he's got an old school mentality. You remember Nick told us that story about him, you know, doing his extra workout wearing a weighted vest while he was like taking phone calls in the afternoon
by himself.
In the off season. Yeah, just by himself walking around talking on the phone in a weighted vest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's D'Amico's mentality, is that you can't be soft. No. We do a lot of things, especially if you're a coach right now, and D'Amico embraces the analytics, he embraces the sports science and everything, but you can't ever forget that you do all that to help recover, but when it comes to the effort and the suffering part, like, there's no replacement for suffering.
Yeah.
I've told you this, Sean. Maybe I never told you this. This is one of the biggest moments as a young athlete that kind of changed things for me. It was a book by Greg LeMond, cyclist who had won a bunch of Tour de France's back before the days of pumping yourself up with EPO.
Yep.
He basically said that ability to suffer is an athletic skill, and like, how much suffering are you willing to endure versus other people?
Yes.
If you can suffer more, then you're going to beat a lot of people who are more talented than you. And if you want to be truly great, you got to be both great physically and also have a huge capacity to suffer. And I think that is true, and it's learned, and it can be enhanced. You know, it's not something like, oh, a guy's just soft. Some guys just have to learn that, yeah, you're better than you think you are, no matter how you feel. You can actually keep running when you can't feel your legs. Like, there's things you can do when you're completely physically just almost shut down, and some guys don't know that, particularly guys who are physically gifted, because they've never been tested. They've never had to go to that place. So in the NFL, you do end up, you know, you end up with rookies and young players sometimes who just really have never been tested physically, because they've always been physically dominant. And, you know, you wish they would have learned this lesson when they were 16, but sometimes they got to learn now that, no, you can fight through this. You don't have to make mental errors just because you're tired and your brain isn't working right. You just got to drill it into where you're doing the right thing all the time, no matter how you feel physically.
That's really cool. When did you learn that? When did you?
I read that book when I was like, I think I was like 14 years old, because I was just a stringy, skinny kid.
Okay.
And like, the Greg LeMond stuff was the huge Tour de France, the Tour de France stories in August. Like, that was big. And look at me now and think about the fact that I once had a dream of being a Tour de France cyclist.
Now, that is something I would watch. I would pay to
watch. I went out,
that.
I spent all my farm money on a Cannondale racing bike and everything. I was a machine. And then I hit a growth spurt, and I was like, ah, screw this.
Guess I'll go play football.
I'm going to go.
Guess I'll do something much more lucrative.
Yeah. No, but ability to suffer. My brother was a wrestling coach, you know, and that was one thing he would always drill into young kids' heads, is like, you're not as tired as you think you are.
Yeah.
You're never as tired as you think you are. Until you actually pass out, you can keep going. You can do it. It might not feel like you can, but you can.
I want to make sure we get this in. I need you to possibly talk me out of this. I am really tempted to bet on the Little League World Series.
Oh, do it.
Yeah?
Why would you not?
I mean, I'm just looking at some of these odds on the Little League World Series. I have a feeling Lopez is going to look down his nose at me in a second.
No.
You really? You think I should capitalize on this?
I just have a question.
Yeah.
I'm the king of the weird bets.
Yeah.
I did the over in the first Texans preseason game. Thank you, $100.
Yeah, you had that by halftime.
Halftime.
Did they still pay you on it, even though the game didn't officially end? Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
So I just have a question.
Yeah.
Based on what? Because I can see the wheels turning. There's something. There's got to be a reason.
Well, there's like a few of these I have odds on. There's four games today and four games tomorrow. Okay, and I don't want to bet on all of them. Like, all the ones that are coin flippers, I just don't know. You know, like, for example, like, Aruba is +180 against a team from Mexico, -220. You know, like, what? The ones I'm looking at are the ones where there's the bigger gap. You know, for example,
Texas West?
No, like tomorrow, Santa Clara, which is a Cuban team, is minus 550, which is a lot to lay in a game where I've never heard of any of these 12-year-old players.
You've heard of Cuban baseball.
Well, exactly. Minus 550, which means you got to lay 550 to win 100. They're going against a team from the Czech Republic who's plus 300. I'm willing to let my minus 550 sit out there for a couple hours. Is there any chance in hell that a bunch of pasty kids from Czechoslovakia beat a Cuban baseball team in Little League?
No.
Cuban kids, they might be 18 years old, these kids.
There's not a chance in hell.
Yeah. So
I'll back you up.
Okay. So do it. You're
half.
Saying.
I'll go half.
You go half? You're going with me on half?
Half.
Okay.
Give me Cuba.
Cuba.
I don't like...
275 you're in for. Yeah.
The thing that immediately jumps to mind when I start thinking about people gambling on Little League stuff is, all right, this also invites in a whole lot of like people like getting angry at and perhaps insulting on social media. 12-year-olds. That's all right, but I have my hesitations, Sean. I have my hesitations.
Or approaching the parents of these 12-year-olds to say, hey, man.
Yeah.
How about you feed your kids some laxative before
the game
or
feeling?
Something?
How's Ricardo feeling today?
Inside information. Dude, that's the thing.
Has kid sprouted his pubes yet or what?
What's
going on?
Like, I feel almost dirty even looking at these odds, but I'm like, oh, come on, man. Like, I'm looking at this thing. I'm like, Florida today, the team from Florida, minus 300 against a bunch of kids from South Dakota.
So he's Jordan's cousin, huh? Oh, okay.
Like, dude, South Dakota's got like five good athletes in the whole state. Florida probably had like 300 kids get cut that could go like dominate in South Dakota, you know? So yeah,
I'm in half. Come in
half or whatever it is. I do
weird bets are the best.
Yeah. They're weird, but it's just skewing into.
And by the way, the whole thing about the kids, money's green, man.
True.
Money's green. Okay, it matters.
That's where we are, and it's on TV. That's the thing.
Yeah.
If you're gonna put it on TV.
You sound like you own a sweatshop somewhere. You sound like a coal mining magnate from the late 1800s.
Now we know how
12 years old. He's not gonna fit in that shaft.
Now,
give me a nine.
Now we know who's running the barbecue sauce conveyor belt.
Now you know why OG sauce only costs $6 a bottle.
Yeah, exactly.
To Lopez, when you say, "Are you gonna use your nine iron?" He's talking about the kid that works in his iron forge. Yeah,
he's 9 years old. Yeah. Oh my God. So I got nobody in this room. Figgy, you're the last vestige here. Should I bet on Little League Baseball today and tomorrow?
Sure, why not?
Okay, thanks, Figgy. There we go. Yeah,
go ahead,
Chris
man.
Santiago's thumbs up. Ben, what about you? Ben, Ben's thumbs up. All right, I guess I'm betting on Little League Baseball.
We're in, baby.
Yeah, you guys are all a bunch of D-gens like me. Don't you all ever look down your noses at me gambling on things, ever.
Gambling? Again. Okay, gambling. Yeah. Gambling, I won't.
Kikuchi was great last night. That
we
was
love
fun.
Kikuchi.
We love ourselves Kikuchi.
We do.
We do indeed.
Yeah.
We do indeed. Do you guys want me to call in from practice again?
I would love for you to call. You know what? I'll type it in the rundown right now.
I haven't seen any video surface of the throw that CJ had that I tried to describe to you guys, but I had a listener help me describe it. I described it with you guys on the show yesterday, but this throw that CJ Stroud made, they said, it sounds like you're describing the throw to Tank Dell before the touchdown against Tampa Bay. Remember the 25-yard throw CJ made to the left side, whoop, right in the bucket?
Yep.
That's exactly what it was, except Tank was closer to the sideline, and the defenders were literally, like, touching him instead of having this soft, big spot in the zone right there. It was amazing. Yeah. It was amazing. So hopefully more of that.
I've heard all kinds of people talk about
that. From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book. on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.